Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to read a scripture to you, probably the most well-known scripture in the Bible, from John chapter 3, and starting with verse 16. John chapter 3, we'll start with verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him, that is Jesus, is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. I love Christmas time. I always have. I think there's something about Christmas that's absolutely special. But how many of you know we live in a strange day and age now? Yes. Have you found that out? I mean, this year alone, what a pathetic year it's been. While we're sitting here in our comfort, there's two incredible wars being fought. Thousands have been killed. That's just two. There's many other wars as well. The world seems to have gone absolutely insane. A council, I can't remember whether it's in Sydney or in Melbourne, but one of the main councils there has tried to take the name Christmas away. And they're using the word Merry. And so they, instead of saying Merry Christmas, their signs say Merry Time. I'm serious. This isn't a joke. This council has tried to stop Christmas being portrayed. And so a lot of Christians gone out, got hold of these signs and written Merry Christmas on them. And that's graffiti. They've been blamed as having graffiti. I thought, what a strange world in which we live. I remember when I was pastoring in Armidale a few years ago, we did a carols by candlelight, and we had a lovely time. After we'd finished, two guys came up to me really angry. I mean, very angry. They says, we came here tonight to sing and listen to carols, not to hear about Jesus. Why have you had to bring Jesus into Christmas? I'm serious. That's what they said to me. And I said, what? I said, if it wasn't for Jesus, there'd be no Christmas. Don't you realize that? And then a couple of weeks ago, I heard on the radio, on the talk about radio, I was driving my car, and an advert came on. So this guy was advertising his product, and he said this: you have all heard that it's better to give than to receive. Nah, it's far better to receive than it is to give. Therefore, listen to what you can receive from us. I listened to that, I thought, you idiot. He said, you've all heard it's far better to give than to receive. Nah, it's better to receive. I thought, do you realize you're contradicting Jesus himself? Because the person who said it's better to more blessed to give than to receive was Jesus. Paul quotes that in Acts chapter 20. Our Lord says it's better to give, it's more blessed to give than to receive. How embarrassed do you think that guy's going to be when he stands before Jesus? It's contradicting the Son of God, who said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so when he said this, I thought about it, and I thought about the world in which we're living in and the strangeness of it and the sadness of it. And I thought to myself, over the years when I've talked about God to people, I've had lots of good reactions, but I've had some bad reactions as well. I've had people very angry when I start talking about God. I've had people say to me, how dare you talk about God? Don't mention God in this world in which we live. This world is, there cannot be a God. This world is so wicked. And if there is, look what he's done to this world. And I've heard that over again, that people seem to blame God for the condition of the world. Do you know that there are millions of people in this world starving today? Do you also know that there's more food in the world today to feed everybody and more? We throw millions of tons of food away every single week. There's no shortage of food, but people are dying of starvation. Do you know why? Because they've not learned it's better to give than to receive. We live in a world that's chaotic, that's sad, a world that's angry, a world that is greedy, a world that is grasping, not a world that is giving. If everybody gave as really we should, everybody would be fed. And if we spent all the money on helping the needy and the sick and the hurting, instead of making guns and bombs, if we did that, the world would be a better place. Don't blame God for the lack of food. Don't blame God for wars. Do you know why there is a lack of food? Because of politics. Do you know why we have so many guns and armaments? Politics. Do you know we live in a world where there's so much disagreement, and yet we've got a group that we call the United Nations. I always laugh when I think of that. It used to be called the League of Nations, but they changed it. Why? We're united. It's now the United Nations. Do you think it is? Do you think the world's united? Do we live in a unit? Of course we don't. Why? Because of politics. Because of greed. Because of racial discrimination. We haven't learned any lessons. I like to study history, and I think I've told you this before. But I was reading on a great historian one day, and he said, history should teach us something. He said, I want to tell you right now what history has taught us. And then he said, nothing. History has taught us nothing because we haven't taken notice of our history, of the mistakes we've made, of the things that we've done. We haven't taken notice of that at all. And consequently, we live in a sad world. A world that doesn't want Jesus, but a world that needs him. I mean, I never thought I'd see, like I saw the other day, where this is Australia we're talking about. We're not talking about a Muslim country or a Buddhist country. We're not talking about Hindu countries. We're talking about Australia, where one of the large councils in one of the biggest cities are trying to ban the word Merry Christmas. We don't want Christ in Christmas. Can I just say this? You can't take Christ out of Christmas because it's all about him. We had it read this morning, for unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who's that talking about? Jesus. Jesus says you are more blessed if you give than if you receive. But most of you now, I don't know all of you here, but most of you will be thinking, it's more blessed to give than to receive. If some of you thought just then, oh no, it isn't, I prefer to receive, then you're one of them that's missed it, like the rest of the world. Because you're not realizing that blessing doesn't come from just receiving. Blessing comes from giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Don't point your finger at God and say, God, this world is a mess because of you. No, it's not. This world is a mess because of us. This world is a mess because of the nations that are here. This world is a mess because of politics. This world is a mess because of greediness. This world is a mess. When God made the world, by the way, God did not make the world to be a hungry place. Come on. He did not make the world to be a place of sickness. He did not make the world to be a place of devastation and war. He did not do that. When God first created the heavens and the earth, and he put man on the earth and all the animals, God says, it is good. That's what God said about the world he made. God said, I've made a good world. I've made a happy world. I've made a satisfying world. I've made a peaceful world. The world that God made was absolutely wonderful and marvelous and glorious. God had made something like he'd never made before, and he was blessed and he was pleased by what he made. Then man was on the earth and messed it all up. Come on. It's a messed world, not because of God. Not because of the angels. It's a messed up world because of you, because of me. We've done it. We've mucked it up. We've messed it up. We haven't learned it's better to give than to receive. We sooner receive. We become greedy and grasping and wanting and wanting and wanting and wanting. And more. The more money we get, the more we want. Do you know the book of Proverbs says that? The book of Proverbs actually says, no matter how much money you've got, you're not satisfied, you want more. That's the book of Proverbs. All those years it said that. And we've seen it. It's the same today. Greedy and grasping, take, take, take. No, no, no. It's high time we learned the greatest lesson of all, the lesson of giving from God. The greatest lesson of giving was the gift that God gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to the world. For God so loved the world. His heart was broken. His heart was sad. He's seen what the world had become. The pain, the suffering, the anguish, the sickness, the wickedness, the discrimination, the slavery. We've done that. God didn't make us slaves. We've done that to each other. But God didn't give up on us. Can you say praise him for that? He didn't give up on us. God didn't say I've had enough. He almost did. He destroyed the earth once by flood, because he'd had enough of the wickedness that he saw. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. He didn't destroy the whole of mankind. Noah and his family had another chance. And they mucked it up as well. Come on. It is true. Do you know the Bible tells us, and this is scary, what is it now, 8 billion people on the earth? The Bible tells us there is not one person that is not a sinner. Not one. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. So when God deals with us and when God looks down upon us, he looks down upon a world of sinners. Now you may say to yourself, well, don't talk to me. I'm not a sinner. Don't tell me I'm a sinner. Well, you are. You say, well, no, I'm not like the guy down the street that robs a bank, or I'm not a rapist, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a thief. Well, don't measure yourself by other people. Measure yourself by God's standards. And guess what? You're a sinner. Measure yourself by the standards of God, you fall short. But the wonderful thing is, God didn't give up on you. God hasn't thrown you to one side. God doesn't want to, the devil might want to trample on you. Politics of this world might want to trample you down. But God doesn't. God so loved the world. And the world there is speaking of people. You could put your name there. I could say this. God so loved John Warwick that he gave his one and only son. That if I will believe in him, I will have eternal life. I will not perish. Hallelujah. God so loved me in my wickedness. You know what I love about God? He didn't love me and say, John, I really love you. I really do. Can you clean your life up? And if you do, I'll take you to heaven to be with me. You clean your life up, John, because I love you so much. I don't want to lose you. Clean it up. Come on, stop it. Stop doing what you're doing. Clean your life up, and you'll come with me to heaven. Do you know if God had said that to me, I won't be up here preaching right now. I'd be lost. Do you know why? Because I couldn't clean my life up. I tried. Could not do it. Could not do it. God didn't say, clean your life up. God says, come to me, and I'll clean your life up. Come to me, and I'll come within you, and I'll put you right. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Come to me. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And he's saying this to all of us in here today, and all of us outside. He's saying, come to me as you are. If you're a drug addict, come to me. My son runs a church in Gosnells, and they're really grassroots. I was down there on Wednesday, and I went to have a look what they were doing. I think they fed 100 and something people, beautiful food parcels, and they got all sorts of down and outs and drug addicts and all kinds of people. It's really rough. But the people come, and they have a little short service, a Christian service. And many of them are getting saved. Many of them are getting born again. He runs a place there for the Alcoholics Anonymous. They can come. He runs a place there for the drug addicts. They can come and they can get help. There's help for people in need. There's help for drug addicts. There's help for people who are full of lust and greed and hatred. There's help for people who are lonely. There's help for people who come from abused families. There's help for people who perhaps you've been knocked about, bashed about. There's help for you. There's help for the lonely, the hurting. There's help for the wicked. There's help for the angry. There's help for the lustful. There's help. God says, come to me as you are. But come, and I will give you rest. I want to read another scripture that a lot of you will know this almost off by heart from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he's talking about love. And I want to just read a few verses. And it says this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And then the next verse says, love never fails. Paul wrote that about the love of God. The Bible says God is love. Everybody say that. God is love. That's what the Bible says. And God's son is Jesus. That we've already heard about, that wonderful Jesus. He is love. When you read this passage, you can read it like this, a little bit different. Are you ready? Instead of saying love is patience, let's say Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Jesus is not proud. Jesus is not rude. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrongs. Hallelujah. Jesus does not delight in evil, but Jesus rejoices with the truth. Jesus always protects. Jesus always trusts. Jesus always hopes. Jesus always perseveres. Jesus never fails. Amen? That's a hope that you and I have this Christmas time. I'm finishing now. It's far better to give. Far better. God so loved the world that he gave. Far better to give than to receive. But receiving is good. Don't get me wrong. If anybody's got anything for me for Christmas, I'll receive it. No problems. I like receiving. There's nothing wrong with that. Because when it says God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. When you believe in Jesus, you receive Jesus. God gives, but you've got to receive. Do you know God has given the gift of Jesus to 8 billion people in the world today? 8 billion people are not receiving it, but a lot are. I understand about 1 billion people confess that Jesus Christ is Lord on earth today. That's 1 billion that's received him. So God gave, and they've received. I've received. I did not come to God after cleaning myself up because I couldn't. I said, God, I need you to clean me up. I receive your love. I am glad that you don't keep a record of wrongs. Come on. We do. He doesn't. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, washes us from all unrighteousness. Let me say this in closing. The best way that you can honor God today, the best way, is to receive what God has given. If you don't receive it, it never becomes yours. And I don't care how many gifts you get given tomorrow. And of course, you're all hoping you're going to get a lot. But you know what you've got to do with those gifts? Receive them. Most of them were wrapped up. Am I right? What do you have to do? Tear the paper off. Open the boxes. Get inside. Receive it. It's yours. It's a gift for you. It's a gift. It means it's yours. It's given to you. But you've got to receive it. And if you don't do that with Jesus, if you do not receive him personally, then he is not yours. If you're given a gift tomorrow, and you look at that gift and you say to the person, thank you, and it's all wrapped up, you just put it to one side, and you never look at it, you never pick it up again, even though that person has given it to you, and even though you have it in your house, it's not yours because you haven't received it. And Jesus is the same. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. But if you don't receive Jesus, then you're just as lost as ever you were. You need him. You need him today. There's an old English carol, and we've got a few English people here today, some on holiday here, 2 lots on holiday from England, and some from Devon and some from, is it Bolton? Somebody's from where it's a bit cold up there, a bit warmer down in Devon. But so they will remember this old hymn. I'm not going to repeat it all to you. It's an old carol. Now, in England right now, it's pretty cold. I Skyped my brother-in-law on Friday, and it was 10 o'clock in the morning there. And I said, what's your temperature? He says, 4 degrees. I said, what's it like outside? He said, I'll show you. So he put the camera outside. It was cloudy and raining. And I said, I'm really glad I'm in Australia. I said, we've had it 36 degrees here today. Because in England, it gets cold in the Northern Hemisphere. And this carol talks about the coldness, the bleakness in the bleak midwinter. And one of the verses says this. It's a carol written about the Jesus. It says, what should I give him, poor as I am? This is talking of Jesus. What should I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would play my part. But what should I give him? Give him my heart. That's what God wants from you today. You're all going to receive lovely gifts tomorrow, and you'll be blessed with those gifts, and you'll be thanking people for them. But you've received the greatest gift of all, and the gift that you've received really deserves. God gave you his son. Will you give him your heart? That's what God deserves, because he wants to take you to a better place than this. He wants to lift you from this place. A day is going to come when this world will end. And who knows, it may be next year. We don't know. The world's a mess. But it's going to end. But there's a promise for every person who believes in Jesus. They're going to a better place than this. We're going to an eternity to be with Jesus for eternity. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes and bow your head. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you realize that God so loves you? Not, when we say the world, we of course we speak a lot of people, but hey, let's narrow this down. God so loved you, you could put your name there. You could put your name there. God so loves you individually. Whether you're a child here or an older person, doesn't matter what your age it is, God loves you. You. And he's already given the greatest gift of all. And thank God for Christmas, because it reminds us every year of the gift of God. And at this Christmas time, let this be a special Christmas for you and for God by you giving God your heart. I'm going to pray right now for people here who want to give their hearts to Jesus. Because if you do, if you give him your heart, he will forgive you of all the things you ever did wrong. He'll come into your life today and he'll give you the gift of eternal life. He will be with you to strengthen you, to protect you, to guide you through life, because he loves you. So you ask him to come in just now. I'm going to pause for a moment. And as I pause, in your heart, ask Jesus to come into your life right now. Father, I pray for each person, young and old, that's been asking Jesus right now to come into their hearts. Jesus, I pray you will. You'll come into their heart right now. You'll come into their person right now. They will know that you are with them. You will forgive them, cleanse them, and strengthen them. Jesus, I pray, whatever the age makes no difference to you, you love us equally. And I pray that each person that's asked you into their heart today, they'll go out of this building knowing that you've come into their heart. Lord, may they give their hearts completely to you. May this coming year, Lord, and we don't know what it's going to bring us. We don't know. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. That's you. And our trust and confidence, Lord, is not in politics. It's not in the so-called United Nations. Our trust and confidence is in our living God. It's in you. And we say, Lord, whatever this year brings, you lead us, you guide us, you protect us. And may we keep close to you. May this Christmas time be a very blessed Christmas for each and every one of us. May your blessing, your peace, be upon each person here and upon each of our families now and forevermore. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. Happy Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. God bless you. Thank you.